Well, welcome to State of Play. The National Council meeting is on. It started, has it not? Because there are a few things that had to happen today. So the day is finally here. It has been the world's worst kept secret.
Really?
Oh, I mean, come on.
World kept secret?
No, the world's worst kept secret. Everybody knew.
I'd have been surprised.
And then this week, the thing that surprised me is that they should leave us to speculate. But then they stopped speculating, and then they confirmed. Yeah, I mean, it's quite weird. You know, in the past, all vice presidential candidates that, you know, there'll be speculation. We will know. We will speculate. But nobody in official capacity will tell you it is him before they go to National Council. They will leave you, wait for National Council, they come and confirm, and then we'll know.
What does that tell you?
So it becomes,
Yeah. But this one, so when I woke up on Monday and I saw Miracles do an interview to say, yeah, it's him. And Joseph, I'm like, this is strange. And then I saw Nana B push, even told us where the outdoor is going to happen. And I'm like, what's happening here? Because you are actually going before the body that has the final say, and you already put the thing out in the public domain. So for the party's rank and file, who now know is him, and they are now have certainty. Assuming they go into the National Council, and something happens, and, you know...
They put it in all
like... Oh,
like,
yeah, nothing will happen.
Oh, I know. Just happen.
Why are you saying nothing will happen? Take your time, man.
The vice president has been seen with one of the sworn enemies, wound to me. Brokering peace.
Yeah.
Then he goes to meet the party's, parliamentary leadership. Informs them of his choice. They put it on their WhatsApp page that this is the man the vice president has settled on. Mm. The vice president goes to meet President Akufo-Addo. And Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo yesterday sends the name of Herbert Krapa as Minister of State in charge of energy. What else? If Akufo-Addo says yes, Raymond Akwa, at National Council meeting, Baumiatu says yes, General Secretary, yes. National Organizer. As for the Regional Chairman, hey. Regional Secretaries, hey. Abba.
Yeah, I mean, it's highly unlikely anything.
It won't happen. I mean,
but it's just the way it's happened. And this is what I suspect happened. Mm-hmm. I think after Apia Kubi's public pronouncement,
yes,
somebody thought, guys,
if we don't take care, there'll be trouble.
If we don't take care, others will start speaking up against this, and there'll be a lot more controversy in the lead up to National Council.
Yes.
So shut this down now. Go out there, confirm it. It will quieten everybody else who may be thinking like Apia Kubi.
I frankly think the poor management of this has rather come from the candidate himself. It was almost as if the jostling that started from the beginning. And let's be fair to ourselves. There was a lot of talk about Kande Bamia gesturing to so many people that you could be. So today it could be Evans Mensah. Tomorrow it will be West Namwa. And so all of these things were happening. Even when there was talk about narrowing down to the Ashanti region alone, the people who were in the people who were I mean, not promised, because you are not there when they were given the promise.
Sure.
Yes, but people who were positioning for the thing, with some belief that it could be them, there were many. Uh-huh. Which brought about some infighting and left-right difficulties from former majority leader to first deputy speaker to all of the other ones. In fact, even in the early days, you could not even hear the names of the likes of Edutum.
No.
Yes.
Edutum wasn't part of it initially.
Yeah. So, subsequently, there was a need to do all of that. Then, there is a so-called, Winston calls it confirmatory study, which, and frankly, in all fairness, I did not see in the selection of Mahmoudou Bamia, for example, no study was required, because at the time, I am sure you would have gotten like only two members of the MPP saying that we wanted him.
Yes.
Because at the time, nobody knew him in the MPP proper. Mm-hmm. They might have heard of his name. They might have heard the role he played in John Kufuor's government. But as a party member who required that kind of the way today we are being made to feel that grassroots support of a sort is important, especially when it is 78% determined by the study. That study wouldn't have confirmed Mahmoud Bawumia as candidate. So what would have happened at the end of the day? I hope you get my point. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a bit of the problem with the selection process. It was almost as if, but if you knew this was your man.
This is state of play, right?
Yes.
So this is it.
If you knew this was your man, it was obvious.
It's obvious that this had to be done to force certain people to accept it. So it's obvious that this was the candidate's choice, but the candidate had to force some people he probably knew were not going to support this. Or maybe persons close to this ticket now mm-hmm. knew there were certain people who may not have been interested. And so the decision was taken to actually make it very difficult for these people to kick against the tickets. Mm. Why am I saying that? Because in the meeting where, Dr. Mahmoudou Bawumia meets Nanado Dankwa Akufo-Addo, there's a lot of discussion here and there.
Nanado actually raised the concern.
He raised concerns. Yeah. But by the time the meeting was done, the information
which concern would he have? I thought that appointed the man minister throughout your government.
Perhaps the most sensitive of all positions in the country.
So,
it wasn't about competence.
So which other concern would have
It's not a question of competence.
No, it's not about competence.
It's not a question of competence. So he raised other questions.
I just be the devil's advocate. It's fine.
I do not see any other legitimate concern that would supersede competence.
Don't worry. Yeah. You don't worry.
Because if the man is not qualified to be cabinet minister,
as for the concern, I won't tell you for now. We'll talk about the concerns.
That Matthew Opoku Prempeh
We'll talk about the concerns on Tuesday.
No, but the way people are making it look like
Dorian will be on Tuesday.
You can guess. That will be.
There is no guess in mind.
Keep it to yourself for now.
Nando cannot say that I made him cabinet minister of extraordinary nature.
We have told you it wasn't about competence.
Can I finish my point?
So which other point
can I
be?
Can I make my?
The masses of this country are interested in the concern.
We leave you to your own imagination.
Can I finish my submission?
Okay. Please continue this.
So, by the time
on the point of concern,
by the time he left that meeting, the following day, the communication was that the vice president, Dr. Bawumia, had met Akufo-Addo and presented a name to Akufo-Addo. Mm-hmm. And Akufo-Addo says it's okay with it. Mm-hmm. So, you see, even though the president had concerns, had a concern or two, then they say, the president is okay with it. Then it doesn't end there.
So after a concern or two, two concerns.
A concern or two.
Okay.
you want me to say
people it? Have to stick to one if you want.
No,
started by saying concern.
Concerns. And we said a concern or two.
So after the concern or two, he agreed.
Yes. This is semantics.
It was dismissed.
but here's the thing. If he's going to Akufo-Addo to present it, what do you think he's doing? He wants to seek his formal input.
Yes.
You think Akufo-Addo didn't know? Before he was formally consulted, who his choice is. He knew.
Yes. So this is
but it's formality. So when he now
so goes to sit,
when he now goes to sit, Akufo-Addo will ask him questions. What about this thing? Have you considered it? And Bawumia will
argue. Consider his energy minister and then there's doom.
Listen.
You too.
By the time, and you see Raymond, I've said this thing before.
Yes.
I said it before. That Dr. Bawumia had long decided he was going to go with NAPO.
Yeah.
The block he had, the resistance was going to face, was going to come from the presidency. And that's why I started by saying that all of this may have been played nicely, okay, to also force the president and those who may be like him to accept it.
Yeah.
Because what I learned actually was that what the vice president sought to do was to get the president's blessing. But it wasn't as if the president could choose for him.
Of course not.
Yes. So whatever was going to happen, if he engaged Akufo-Addo and Akufo-Addo wasn't prepared to accept his choice of a running mate, he would have been forced then to defy and then go with Matthew Opoku Prempeh.
Prempeh, yeah.
Because that was his choice. And so that's this point at that, I mean, at that moment, that's what he wanted to
do. And really, in a big organization like the New Patriotic Party, it will be impossible to put a candidate up and nominate the person for vice president's slot and not have opposition. Remember that?
He definitely would have opposition.
I mean, and the people who were also campaigning to be Baomian's running mate, they all had constituencies. So at least you find people who support them to debate. This week, the majority leader was on Newsnight.
I get you.
But and he went to the list of people who were actually all vying, including Brian Champong.
Why was it a competitive position?
Well, he makes the point about people who were all vying. He mentioned Brian Champong had his constituency.
That I've been giving the indication that they had prospects.
Natoshi had a constituency. I told you last week that people came to see me. They thought I could help.
It was not too late.
It's not too late.
They came to see you to do or to pray for them or to do what?
No, they say they thought they had seen everybody.
But I need to use your card so that people will see my prospect.
They want to bring them up for an interview. And I said, no, I mean, we don't do that here. You know?
You don't do interviews here.
No, I mean, we do interviews, but not an interview that is meant to project an individual. I have to do it if I believe it's good content.
Yeah,
it's good content.
But opponent to the mainstay is good content.
It doesn't look like a promotional interview.
No, because if you come to me, I ask you all the hard questions.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Like a minister for who wants to be president for a Greek who came and asked me a simple question and he said, you know, his vision is the reason he wants to be president because he wants to be president for the MPP.
Oh, now and he was forming thought process. Uh-huh. The team became some uh-huh.
This is the point. This is the point.
So my point is that it is impossible. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's impossible in this political climate to appoint or nominate a running mate and not have a position. So the position is there. And
this doesn't include the president. Because the concerns are not opposition concerns.
No, but if you had concerns, that doesn't mean that we're opposed.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying. It doesn't include the president. Exactly. I wanted to affirm that.
But you think there's National Council meeting that I currently have it?
Yes.
You think people will not be on their feet in the National Council meeting?
Yes.
Raising objections to NAPO?
And the appeal could be a member of National Council.
He's National Council member.
Yes. He spoke against it. But you see, publicly, this is the point. No, this is the point.
But since then, it's gone very quiet.
No, Raymond. When Akufo-Addo was going to present Baomian, he first presented Ajalima to Mahama.
Mahama?
Ajalima. Ajalima to Mahama.
Yes,
who was rejected?
I'm confused.
But
even Baomian, when Nanado presented him, people opposed it.
It was Jay Akufo who actually, look, because the party suggested to Akufo-Addo to go with Boniface Abubakar Sadiq.
Yes.
Then Akufo-Addo says, no, I won't go with him. He then comes back with the name Baomian. And then the party says, no.
Yeah.
No, but
it was there that Jay Akufo said yes. So, look.
So what's your difficulty?
My difficulty is that it was being made to look as if acceptance of everybody was important in this process.
You can't achieve 100% acceptance of a candidate when you have a wound to me in a picture.
How do you want to be nice?
So you have to.
You sure?
You have, yes, of course.
The NPP has to be careful.
Public display, though.
Raymond,
this is politics.
Yes.
It is fine. You see, I have no difficulties with what they call it, Mafia Poco Pempe. And even say that, well, we can work together. But to say that, wound to me now, it's on very good terms.
All of a sudden, all the bad blood is.
Come on.
Yeah.
We know that, yes, I mean, it will not happen.
That's what you call
it. But of course, you work towards a common goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as Kofor said, you are better off as a messenger. A messenger.
In a governing party. Yes, secretary in a position party.
Yes. So, you see, there will be internal difficulties, but parties work towards.
So,
but I think what made this one a bit, it's almost as if, after the NAPO project, we have to manage it properly or else there will be massive uproar.
Mm-hmm.
Or people are going to openly oppose it. But as if that was in and of itself a very terrible thing to do.
I mean, I think that with hindsight, we can have this conversation. Now, this is what I saw. A party in government already has a second term case. I mean, all parties do it in the second term.
There's been
a debt exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, until recently. I mean, the lights have been going off. You have people calling for a timetable. There's a talk of doom. So the last thing you want to do again is that even when it comes to a choice of a running mate, there's division in your own party.
Yeah.
So ordinarily, you could have waited for the National Council to meet. Mm-hmm. But what if the National Council meets, okay, and there's division in the National Council? It would get down to the base of the party. So what they may have done is, and this is what I suspect they did. Okay, let's go down. This is the man we want. Let's go and do a confirmatory research. We've brought the research. The research says overwhelming support, 76%. I mean, I've not been proven wrong so far. I mean, 76% say, we like this man. The next person gets 10%. Oh, come on. And there's no race after all. Then you go to parliament. And I've been told by some members of parliament that they actually wanted to take Andy Appiah-Kubi on when he said that. Because you see...
Oh, but they took him on. Oh, the majority leader...
When I say some members of parliament, not the majority leader.
The majority leader came out to say...
Oh, he said
that do not destroy party members because... But the words that Andy Appiah-Kubi used, who was he destroying? He said, I don't like the guy.
Because you see,
give the opportunity, I will not choose him.
But
why is that wrong?
But is the point from those guys? They say you and the Appiah-Kubi. When you went and said that 90 people are supporting you to remove the finance minister, even though did anybody ask you who the names of the people were? But that's another matter. My point is that once Andy Appiah-Kubi, someone wanted to take him on. But at that point in time, what I have learned is that Napo, when he saw some of his allies typing, goes back door and says, leave it. At this point in time, it is done. What we need is unity. So you allow. Let it go. Because the last thing you want as Mathieu Poku-Prempeh, the last thing you want as Dr. Baumia, is that people kick against your choice and candidature. So what you have to do is to go and look for the likes of Wuntumi, who many said was supporting the late John Kuma, and subsequently decided to support Dr. Yao Saidi Chum. So go and see him. Make peace. Go to the party office.
Essentially, anybody but Napo.
Well, go and see him. Now go to the party office. Get their blessing. Get the blessing of the majority caucus. Then others actually say it. That is Napo. What is going to happen is that all those who may be against it at that moment would actually voice out. And you know how the political party system works. Anybody who's against the candidate, once he voices out, the system takes care of him. So today, smooth sailing.
Yeah.
You come out. And after today, we'd have the conversation as to, we started that conversation, last week. I'm sure after the outdooring, we'll have that conversation. We'll see.
So really, that's where we are now.
Yeah.
This is fait accompli. This formality of presenting the nominee to the National Council is, we've been told already, it is done. I mean, they'll go past that very quickly. They'll present the name tonight, and tomorrow the debate will start. It started already.
Debate?
Well, the debate around whether he is what his contribution to the candidacy, to the ticket.
Okay.
Will start. And what
I
he brings.
I thought the debate would be over whether they still be the right choice.
The man has made a decision. The question now becomes.
And that if it were Osaya Duchu or Brian Echampong,
I think that.
No, that is also a realistic debate.
Now, the debate is only about what he brings to the ticket for December 7th.
Vis-a-vis Prof. Nana Jade Opoku Ajiman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So head to head, does he have the upper hand? Does he get Baumia across the line when you pull that ticket? The ticket now will be complete. That's the conversation we're going to have, obviously going forward. But we can start now. So let's talk about Ashanti region. Ashanti region obviously is a reason, key reason. Yesterday I was asking Kujo Ponkrumah that question, and his answer was interesting. He says that I said the primary reason why he became the running mate is because he comes from Ashanti region, needs to governance your base. Yeah, but who nominates a running mate and not think about their base? So that clearly tells you, confirms the point. And that consensus was reached in the party long ago. Okay. Now, the outdooring is in Ashanti region. And yesterday I lay with deciding whether to do it in the stadium or to do it at the KNUST or whatever, but it's going to be in Ashanti region. So instantly, they are telling you, yes, we want to use him to galvanize Ashanti region. And we've said if he goes and that galvanizes that well, they probably will win the elections. Okay. But we ask the question, beyond Ashanti region, what else do you do in Napo? How do you answer that question?
No, but see, candidates are chosen for reasons. I mean, there's nothing absolutely wrong That's if it works. I am one of those who are very skeptical about Napo doing any magic in the Ashanti region.
You don't think he will?
You see, I think it is based on a certain false appreciation of how voters operate first and foremost. And if an Ashanti MPP supporter would vote for MPP today, there are two options on the table. Yes, I'll vote for the MPP because I believe it's my party. Secondly, I'll not vote for the party and stay home, eat fufu, and sleep, and let things take care
of itself. But I think, Raymond, we are missing a point. In the Fourth Republic...
Maybe if I make this one.
Just one small point, yes. You can continue. In the Fourth Republic, this is the first time they're having another can on the ticket.
No. I'm not even disputing that. I'm saying...
No, but I'm saying that is why you would... His origins, Mashanti, becomes even more pronounced.
The vote for the MPP has very little to do with... In fact, when Akufo-Addo became candidate, there were people who were proper Ashanti people, who had difficulties with Ashanti people, who really felt it was not the right decision to make. But they put the party first. So an Ashanti support for the NPP is to party. If he has a problem with that, and he seems the conduct of some people are making it impossible for me to do so, what he does is sleep. It's not a vote lost to the opponent predominantly, first and foremost. So I do not know what Matthew Opoku-Pempe can do. Even in Menchia South, from Ashdown to Kofrom today, that he will change the mind of somebody who is convinced that, say, well, I felt it should have been the time of, Chemartin. But and Chemartin is not on the ticket.
But I don't think that's so, the consideration, Raymond.
Oh,
take the consideration is not whether they will vote for MPP or not. The consideration primarily is whether they will show up at the polls.
No, okay, hold on.
Those two things are different.
See.
It's, because you're right. If they don't show up at the polls,
yes,
you have a problem.
Yes.
If they show up at the polls, invariably they will vote for the MPP.
What I'm saying is that...
So you need to get them energized to move.
Yes. And I'm saying...
That's what they want.
Matthew Opoku-Pempe will not change the minds of people who might have deep-seated problems with the MPP today. And I'm saying the position has always been, and I'm not disagreeing with you, that if I'm not voting MPP, I'm sleeping at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a problem. But it will not change merely because you put Matthew Opoku-Pempe or what they call him, Maumia, as the candidate.
You agree with him?
No, I mean, part of it. But this is the other point.
Which part?
Hold on. Those who want to vote for NPP will vote for NPP.
Yes.
Now, this is the point of departure. There are some people who may want to stay at home, but then could have a change of mind and go out to vote based on how the party is able to convince them to come out there and vote.
That's my point. So, that's why Napo is important.
So the point here is
not because they may not
vote. So the convincing factors in
the guys who otherwise sleep. They're the guys you want Napo to get.
So if
walk. I mean, Raymond, okay. So what can he do?
If Wede Yedia, resonates very well, if it resonates with the electorate in the Ashanti region, and you made the point and said, even in Akufo-Addo's case, there's some who fell because of this whole thing, and I'm saying there are if the electorate in the Ashanti region accept Napo and embrace him as he's one of us, as you saw with Jay Okufo, and they step out to vote. And this is the point. The party being mindful of that, knowing that this time around they have a candidate from Northern Ghana, is probably why they settled on the Ashanti, because that's their base, no problem. But I'm saying, if that resonates, and it's always an if Napo is seen as he's one of us, he can actually ride on that. And also, he can actually ride on that and, you know, hit the Alliance for Revolutionary Change, whose presidential candidate will be Alan Chemartin.
No, I'm not disputing that. I'm saying this would happen with every Ashanti candidate. Every Ashanti candidate, be it Oduchum, be it a former majority leader, all of them would have the same level of he's one of us. Claim. What will be special about Matthew Opoku-Pempe that will take him to drive out the votes?
But that's
the question I'm asking.
But that is why he was selected and not Edutum, and not the chief of staff.
No, I'm saying what will be special.
Because I'm coming to that.
Yes.
Because, first of all, this touted royal lineage is there. Today, I'm having a conversation about, let's go to his royal house.
Oh, which one is the royal house?
That is why I said, wait. Listen to the way I phrased it. Listen to the way I phrased it.
I'm going to take your time, man.
Wait. Whatever you look at it,
yes.
That's why I said, the touted royal lineage. It's been touted. That you can't take away from the fact people who put it out there. That the father comes from the Apejefie. They lived.
Oh, he was Apejahene. The father was Apejahene.
Exactly.
But Asante people are not supporting MPP because of Otunfo, or even barely because there's a royal connection.
No.
Royal connection.
But whatever it is.
In fact,
you can make the argument whether it is an effective campaign tool for NAPO, but it's been used.
I actually think people perceive it to be used. In all fairness, I do not think that the people who are roaming in Ashtown today, who every day pass in front of the Mensah Palace, or the people on the other side, the people who are just living close to it, their consideration is that a royal tells me to vote and I vote in anyway. It can never happen. In fact, the suspicion, okay, well, let me not even say suspicion. The thinking there is that it's our party. And I'm saying if there are difficulties with the party, that deep-seated one will not be wiped away by NAPO's extraordinary competence. And I'm still yet to hear, because I kept hearing people saying, oh, if we choose him, it will be easier. I'm saying, no, there are people who are much more light.
Like who?
I mean, I'm not even going to choose, in all fairness, if your man, Edutum. I'm actually going to settle for somebody like even Joe Oseusu.
He's not interested.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying people who can walk across, get people who have difficulties to abandon their issues. And I'm insisting that NAPO is not one of them. See, he may have a team, people who abandon their differences and actually move on the ground and say, listen, but he is not the conciliatory gentleman that will be superseding or supervising this role. And I have a difficulty with people not understanding that part.
But Raymond, what you also having a difficulty not understanding, or maybe you understand but wouldn't say, is the fact that what NAPO has done, not only in the Ashanti region, is that he's actually, I don't want to use the word hijack, but NAPO has actually gotten a lot of people who matter in the party on his side, true of us. Raymond, he's gotten a lot of people who matter, even in the National Executive Committee.
I'm just looking through, let's say, the original, because you see, this is drilled down to Ashanti region.
Yeah.
I'm just looking through the original leadership. If it took a recent national reconciliation meeting between chairman of the region and the candidate incoming to actually breach some, how is anybody convinced that this extends to any other person? So hold on. Who is now going to convince other people? Is it NAPO himself? Or he has actually had to bring forth all the other previously respected faces who had actually been those who settle problems to come and do the campaign? Would it be easier if it were to be a different candidate who would not have this challenge?
But Raymond, you also know the problem between NAPO and Wuntumi. I don't want to delve into that. But after NAPO supported Koka, after the loss of Koka, Wuntumi told NAPO, "Send me Kacherew." You know. So if you don't do it, if you defer it today, eventually, so I use defer, because you will come back to it. So if you have not done the right thing, of course, Wuntumi will hunt you until you come and do the right thing. But that's what, I'm even looking at the fact that in the party hierarchy, at the National Executive Committee level, in a lot of, the young MPs, in some of the people even in Parliament.
Some of the people in the Executive Committee of the party.
These are people
who are beholden to him.
Who do everything for him.
Yeah.
You're the national organizer of the MPP.
He sponsors them. He groomed them.
The Secretary General of the General Secretary of the NPP. You know it. The man who plays the drum during Akwesi Dai. What's his name? The general secretary, the man who plays the drum at Menchia.
You're talking about JFK?
Yes, JFK.
I know, plays the drum at Menchia.
Haven't you seen him? Haven't you seen him playing the drum?
Yes, when he was 2x2 foot, come and say that he had to take up his role. Yes.
He, you know, is a Napo boy. Nana B, you know. And there are many like, in fact, I was surprised.
And again, I think that's also what gives the impression.
Yes.
That he has a foothold.
No, but that's my point. My point is about the influence he's wielded in the party at the executive level, but also go down to polling station in the Ashanti region. He's very, very strong. Of course, the Wuntumi one is the one that is played out the most because obviously of the Wuntumi's own character and everything else. But if you take the Wuntumi thing out, Napo's influence, you see, Napo's influence in the Ashanti region, in terms of his ability to groom people and to grow followers, right, who are loyal to him, is almost like the Harun Edrusu in the northern region. He's almost become a kingmaker in the Ashanti region. And you can just list so many of them, but you know what I'm saying. Who he raised, groomed, not only to become executives, but become members of parliament, right? Which of the individuals you mentioned in the Ashanti region has the same track record in the ability to raise people, arm them, resource them, groom them to become party executives, not only at the constituency and grassroots level, but at the national level and in parliament. He has that. And that is influence. That is why, for me, in considering who to appoint, those who put themselves in the race, He stands out. I see your argument. So when you move beyond the party's rank and file, okay, how does he appeal to the general Ashanti voting population, especially those who this year will sleep? Because we know the biggest, most prominent manifestation of the eight-year curse is in your stronghold, is that people will not be as galvanized to go out and vote. People will be lethargic. They'll rather not vote. They won't give their vote to the end. We know that is a problem. So the big question is, beyond the party, would he rub off well on those people who rather not go and vote? That's the question you're asking. Mm-hmm. And your conclusion is that he doesn't do that. Is that your conclusion?
Yeah, it would be very difficult.
But I doubt very much. Considering that, remember, this same grassroots folks, and remember, Ashanti region has the largest number of delegates for the party, right? His influence in that is huge. These people in their communities will be doing the campaigning. And considering that a lot of them will be loyal to him directly because of his influence and his resources that he has that he spread out. We know Napo's greatest strength, that he's very generous to the people who are loyal to him and those loyal to those who are loyal to him, right? So those people are the people who will be going to communities and selling him and trying to market him. That can have a galvanizing effect if you do the multiplier effect.
Okay. Let's see what you name.
But as for the negatives, they are there.
Oh.
You see, the next week Tuesday.
But of course, there can't be a candidate without that.
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, it's a human being.
The question is, the point I always come to about what Winston says, if you're not adding anything to the candidate, don't take anything away, right? We now need to do the cost-benefit analysis. How much is he adding to the candidate? How much is he taking away? And if you do the net off, where do you arrive? Is it a net negative or a net positive?
Are you asking it now?
Yes,
I thought you said Tuesday.
No, I'm asking you now.
I'm not doing the cost.
Tuesday.
And I'm doing plus or minus. I'm counting.
That really is where
I'm counting.
The chips will fall.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it, where do you lie?
Tuesday.
You know. So you want to join us because we're going to have we're going to do this. We're going to really look at it scientifically and see where we land. On the matter, Raymond will lead. Raymond will be the lead on the matter. Anyway, any comments on the feed? By the way, we have really exceeded our time.
Oh,
enjoy,
really?
Enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll come again next week. Next week, Thursday, by the time, you know, the man has now done.